attempt to worship the God and preach His Word. And I want to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It seems like that God's people are just have forgotten about the Lord. As we go through our times here in this old weary world, and we're thinking about all other things except God, aren't we? We're all guilty of that. But the Lord says that we are to prefer Him above anything else, above especially the worldly things. We are to love God with all of our hearts, and that's a commandment. God puts the love in our hearts, and we grow in love. As we go through time, we grow in love. Or this is the way God has it planned. But sometimes, you know, He warned the church, the Ephesian church, He says, "Thou have left thy first love." And He said, you need to come back to your first love. That is the main theme in God's Word, is His love. The love of God and to love each other. That was the second great commandment. We are to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. I'll read some from chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians. And Paul writing here, he says, "Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren." Wasn't talking to the Edomic world, but he's talking to the church. He's talking to God's people here. He's talking to us this morning, as we said here this morning. God is talking to us through the Apostle Paul, which wrote some 13 books of the Bible. He was the apostle of the apostles, a great man of God. Paul, in his life, he preached the Word of God, and I believe that the Word of God that he gave Paul the authority, the unction to be able to write it down. And it is the Word of God. And everything that Paul taught in the Word of God was truth, because God gave it to him. There's nothing false or nothing wrong in the teachings of the Apostle Paul or in the Word of God. He was the perfect preacher in the sense that he wasn't without sin. Now don't get me wrong. But he preached the perfect gospel. And I believe he was one of the only men that ever lived that was able to do that. Sometimes we make mistakes, and I don't believe Paul made any mistakes, because it was the perfect Word of God. We make mistakes. We as ministers make mistakes. And sometimes we get things wrong. But God help us, and God help us three ministers here to preach in spirit and in truth. Because I don't want to preach anything that would be not pertaining to the godly things that He gave us to preach about. He says, "And exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ that ye, as ye have received of us, how you ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more." I want you to think about what the Word of God is saying this morning, and I'm trying to say, and even to me, that we need to be closer to God, and we are to walk in the Spirit as we travel through this old weary world. God says that if we follow Him and we walk the paths of His righteousness, that our trials and our troubles will not, they may be, we think, something we can't bear, but we can bear. Through God's grace, through His love, and His kindness, we can bear whatever comes before us. We can go through the fiery furnace, and we come out on the other side, and we are as he says, we are as gold. We're refined, and we know better how to handle our troubles and trials in this old weary world as we go walk through this weary world. I depend upon God. I have a lot of friends. I have friends all over the United States that I talk to. I have great friends here in the church. You are my brothers and sisters in Christ, and I love you. And I want you to love me back, and I feel like that you do, because I can feel your love. But I want us to all love the Lord as much as we love each other. That's what God says. We're to love each other as we love the Lord. As God loved you. Sometimes we forget about the teachings of the Lord and His commandments. And His commandments to us that we to love one another. We are to be faithful to God, and we are to feel His love, and we are growing in His love as we go through this weary world, and it helps us through all of our trials and tribulations. By the grace of God, Paul said, I am what I am. By the grace of God, Roger can say this morning, I am what I am. If I have any righteousness, if I have any goodness in me, it's by the grace of God. I hope that the old nature, I still drag around the old nature, but I try to put it behind me. I try to put it aside, the old nature. This is what the Lord is talking about. This is His message to us this morning, that the old nature, it's going to aggravate us till the day we die. But we have something with God that is more powerful than the old nature. He says we have a war going on. And He says that the way that we can overcome or win these battles is through Jesus Christ our Lord, through God Almighty. And that is the only way you're going to win them. That is the only way. There's no preacher, none of us, that can help you win your battles. Now, I know that God gives us the word to preach to you, and these words come from God, and they help us through this life. The Bible is not written to the Adamic world. It was written to God's people. And he wrote it and gave it to the apostles to be able to write, to the prophets, to be able to tell us about how great God is and how great His love is. Furthermore, he says, then we beseech you, brethren, Paul says, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus that you, as ye have received of us, how you ought to walk and to please God. And to please God. Did we get up this morning with a mindset that we wanted to please God the first thing off? Or did we get up this morning and say, well, our mind's way off someplace? The first thing we should do when we get up of a morning is when we look out and we see the beauty of what God's hands have made. And we was talking about complaining back there a while ago. And we complain about things, don't we? And we ought not be complaining about things, because God is, He loves us. And we may be going through some things, but we look to the Lord. Instead of complaining, look to the Lord and say, Lord, it's me again. I need help. I have to run to the Lord many times. It's me again, Lord. Now, Brother Robert, he probably got tired of hearing me preach to him, but I wanted to see Brother Robert back in the house of God. I love him. Love his family. They're precious to me. But when I'm really in trouble, I go to the Lord. I want my friends and my people of God praying for me. And believe me, I've had a lot of troubles, trials and tribulations in life. But you know what? That makes us stronger in the Lord. Paul says, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. This is God speaking to His people. This is the Lord speaking to us. Be powerful. Be powerful in God. Be powerful in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can overcome the trials and troubles of this old world through the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Paul had a thorn in his flesh, but what did the Lord tell him? He says, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. We got thorns in the... I feel like a porcupine sometimes, so many thorns in my flesh. Somebody said the other day, Parker says, you just go around smiling all the time, and says... He said, do you really feel that good? I said, no, not really. But I have to smile. I do. I try to smile and be happy in the Lord. I like to talk about the Lord. Had a brother to call me this morning. And first thing we got to talking about is the Lord. Love to talk about the Lord. And this is what... the Lord says that we are to be a living sacrifice. A living, not a dead sacrifice. You are a living sacrifice. And all that we do, we should do to the honor and glory of God. Honor and glory of God. Everything that we do. Now, I'm not talking about the bad things. I'm talking about when we do good things. Because God honors the good things that we do. Now, that's not going to save us, but it save us for heaven and immortal glory, but it may save us a lot of trials and tribulations in this life. It may save us from a lot of worry, a lot of fretness, and things like that. We're not to glory in man, but we're to glory in God. Glory in God. God gives us things in life, and everything, every good thing comes down from God out of heaven. Every good thing. The bad things that's going on in the world, they are of the devil. The devil's going to and fro, and he's devouring who he may. But God has him on a chain. He says you can just go so far, devil, and that's as far as you can go. He yanks him back. And the devil is trying to... And God, some people says, well, the devil ain't loose. The devil's loose. The devil's loose. You can see all the things that are going on, and it's probably going to get worse. But we have a God that... our God that we can look to. We have a God that watches over us and keeps us in His tender, loving care. That's what Paul is preaching here. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying to us, that we look to God and do walk in the ways of the Lord and be pleasing unto God. That's not going to cure all your trials and tribulations, but it's sure going to help. Sure going to help. For he says in verse 2, for you know what commandments we have gave you by the Lord Christ. We know, you know what commandments. They came from God. Paul preached the word of God. And there's more than 10 commandments. They are the main commandments, but there are more than 10 commandments. God's word is a commandment. Every word of God is a commandment. Seek not for the assemblings of yourself together, and some have fallen away. That's a commandment, that we gather ourselves together on Sunday or whenever the church doors are open, that we gather ourselves together in love, and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we come together in the Spirit of God praising and honoring Him. Not in man's glory, but in the glory of God. I don't want to wait till I get to heaven to be able to praise my Lord and my God. I want to do it while I'm alive. I want to do it now while I'm here on this earth. Because when I get to heaven, I know, I believe in what God's Word said. I'll be praising Him forevermore. Forevermore. But we let the chains of darkness and the chains of evil sometimes come into our life, and we let that get the best of us sometimes. And there's nobody that I know of, no person up on this earth, the best man of God, even the Apostle Paul, he had those times in his life, the times of darkness and frailness and weakness, but he depended upon God. And that many times that he was in prison and he was, you know, he knew, even in prison, he witnessed to the persons that were in prison. And by God's word, God changed some of those people that he witnessed to in prison. Don't you love to just, you know, sometimes I think I want to go up here on the corner at the courthouse and preach. There used to be a preacher that was up there just about every day. And there'd be a little bunch around him, you know, listening to him. And there'd be people all over the place, but they don't have time to stop and listen to the Word of God. I just pulled up in a parking place and sat and listened to him for a little while till he got off on something the wrong thing, and then I'd pull off. I want to hear the right thing. I want to hear God's Word in truth and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Down in the third verse, he says, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication." Fornication that's talking about here is not loving God with your whole heart. If you got something besides God that you love more in your life, that's fornication. And I'm afraid that we're all guilty of that sometimes. That we have the love of money as the root of all evil. It didn't say money was the root of all evil, but it says the love of money, the love of lust, the love of other things in life, more than you love the Lord. You put the Lord aside and say, "Well, I'm going to do this on Sunday." I noticed this morning coming over here, there was probably, I don't know how many cars up here at the stadium they're playing baseball up there today. And my first thought was that they are to be in the house of God. Of course, they don't want to be, or they would be. This is the will of God. This is God's will and God's commandment. Even your sanctification, we're to set our lives aside for the Lord. Leave the world on the outside. Put God in your heart. Let God in your heart. God is already there. We just need to realize that. In the fourth verse, he says that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel. This is a vessel of God. The Holy Spirit dwells in it. That's why God warns us. He says, "Quench not the Spirit." Quench not the Spirit, and that's not good when we quench the Spirit, because we can't be pleasing to God with going walking around with a quenched spirit. So we do have the power to quench the Spirit by the help of the old slew foot. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel and sanctification and honor. Sanctification. Sanctification means you set aside your life to worship the Lord God Almighty. That's what that's saying. And to honor God with your whole heart. That's what David, the psalmist David, proclaimed, to honor God with your whole heart. Not half-heartedly, wholeheartedly. Our bodies, can you imagine? I look back at my life when I was out in the world and out in sin, and I didn't know the Lord and I didn't know if God loved me or not. I do think about those times. I don't relish it. I don't want to go back to doing what I used to do. I want to follow the Lord. But our bodies was once the servant of sin. We were habitual sinners out in the world and doing the things of the world and not pleasing God. But when God born you again, you're a different person. He says you are a new man. You are a new person. Now, we still got the old body, but we have something that is more powerful within us, the Holy Spirit. When we've been born again of the Spirit of God, now that we can put the world aside, we can forget about our past lives or put it behind us. I probably can't never forget what you've done in your past lives. Put it behind us and walk in the ways of God, because He has called you with a holy calling, it says. With a holy calling. So we walk with God in the Holy Spirit, and we lift up our voices and we move. The Holy Spirit makes us move and dwell in the things of God when we're in the Spirit of God. You go home today, don't just forget about God. Don't forget about that He is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. When you go home today, you go home and you talk about the Lord. If you're going out to eat today, talk about the Lord. Because I'll tell you what, you may be thinking about going home and eating, but the Lord's table is set with everything that you need for your spiritual mind and your spiritual body. It's got all the vitamins that you need to live in the Spirit of God. Everything. He says He has given us everything that we need spiritually that we can dwell in God. Everything. I'm not going to compromise nothing. If I can keep my right mind, I'm not going to compromise God's word. That's one thing I'm not going to do. But I can't say that I've not compromise some other things about God, about not doing what I should do and many times in my life. And again, I have to say, run to the Lord. It's me again, Lord. Forgive me. He said we are to repent daily. How many of us repent daily? I try to repent every night before I go to bed, because I know that I have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But I'm glad that I'm reminded through the Holy Spirit and God that I am a child of God, and He is a forgiving God. But I tell you what, if you don't repent, He'll chastise you. And I don't... Well, in some ways, you know, He says that you know that if you've been chastised of the Lord, you're not bastards, but you're sons of God. So chastisement is a way of, in a way that we feel the chastisements of God, and the way that we feel when we're chastised of God and know that it is wrong, have the spiritual mind to know it's wrong. He says He has given us a spiritual mind, and we know right from wrong. But the world does a lot of things. We say, well, the world's doing that. And you know what? I don't say that they're getting hurt. Well, they don't know where a lot of things come from. They don't know the godly things. If they're out in the world doing the things of the world, they probably don't know the godly things. All the blessings we have come from God, not from the president. Now, he can bless the president. But I'm talking about spiritual things that comes down from God out of heaven. The good things. The good life. I call it the good life. And sometimes, you know, I went through the first year when my God changed me. I went through the first year and happy in the Lord. And I just was in perfect peace and love with God, with Brother and Sister Cantrell. And just go over to Chicago to the church and down to Oak Grove to the church. And I couldn't get enough. Couldn't get enough. Couldn't get enough of the preaching of the Word of God. I wanted to know everything that I could know about the Lord. I still do today. But it wasn't like when the Lord changed me. It wasn't like the first year of my life. Now then, I've kind of got slack or something. We all do, don't we? I don't want to be slack in worshiping the Lord God Almighty. The Spirit of God being born again awakens us to the and reveals unto us that we are the children of God. Do you know that you are a child of God? Are you people going around, even some old Baptists? Well, I don't know if I'm a child of God or not. Well, if you don't know, I believe that you know that you are a child of God. When you've been born again of the Spirit of God, the Spirit reveals unto you that you are a child of God. And that's how you know that you are a child of God, when God reveals it to you. Now, these people who go around and say, well, I don't know if I'm a child of God or not. Well, they should know. I believe I know beyond a shadow of a doubt. Now, the devil will come along and trying to tell you when you go into a lot of the trials and tribulations that's brought upon us or God allows to come upon us. You say, well, I don't know if I'm a child of God or not. I'm a child of God. We think about those things. And no doubts about being a child of God. If you love the Lord, if he is the God of your life, if our God is the God of your life, all of our lives, then you are a child of God. Now, there's a lot of people that hadn't been born again of the Spirit of God who are the children of God, and God reveals that unto you when you're born again, that you are a child of God. I didn't know if I was a child of God or not, walking in this old weary world and wickedness and doing the things I shouldn't be doing, didn't have any knowledge of God. I had a head knowledge of God, but I didn't love Him and I didn't want to serve Him until He came into my life. When He came into our lives, you know, I've been all over the country preaching, and I hear witnesses want to tell me how God changed their lives and how God made them alive and made them know that He is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. I'm guilty as anybody else. I'm not perfect. Barbara used to tell me that every day. You're not perfect. I know I'm not. But Paul says we are to strive toward the mark of the high calling which God has given us and called us to. I want to turn over to another place here. And in the 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, the 11th verse, we'll start there. He's talking to God's people here, talking to the church. He says, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as you also do ye. And we beseech you, brethren, there is the commandment again. We beseech you, therefore, brethren. And it's talking about the people of God. When it says brethren, it's talking about the children of God. To know them which labor among you. We have some good laborers, I think, here in this church. You know, I drove up this morning and seen the yard had been cut so pretty out there, and Carl had mowed the yard. And Carl, you just don't know how much I appreciate that, brother. To know them that labor among you and are over you. Now, this is talking about me and Brother Dave and Brother Leroy, who labor over you in the Lord and admonish you. And to esteem them very highly. That don't mean that I'm any better than anybody else in this church. But you are to esteem your ministers highly. We got, you know, somebody asking you about your preachers, you're supposed to say, yeah, we've got three godly men who preach the Word of God. Tell them about us. I think it's good that you speak up for us. We got three good godly men who preach the Word of God in spirit and truth. And to esteem them very highly in love for their works' sake, and be at peace among yourselves. We are at peace among ourselves. We don't have any problems here. We may have some that I don't know about, but if I don't know about it, I wish somebody would tell me about it, because that's what you need to do. We're all happy in the Lord here and do love each other. But we can love each other more. I want to love you more. I want to love my Lord more. I want to love y'all more. I don't think we ever come to the end of that love until we die and go to heaven. And then when we all get to heaven, you know, we sang that song, when we all get to heaven, then we're going to know the perfect love of peace and tranquility as we sit before our Lord and Savior. And we hear His words, His teachings, and we sing the songs of glory. And we'll all be, the Bible says, we'll be in harmony. You won't nobody be out of tune like sometimes I get out of tune. That's kind of out of tune this morning. Brother Dave, he got a cough and got out, kind of out of tune. But we'll all be perfect when we get to heaven. So that's why Paul says we are to strive toward the mark of the high calling as we go through this weary world, as we demonstrate and we preach the Word of God to the fullness that God has given us to do it in. The hardships and the afflictions of this world, we won't ever know them when we get to heaven in immortal glory. We won't know about that. We won't know about the afflictions. That'll all be done, the hardships, the sufferings that we bear, that we undergo in this world. When we get to heaven in immortal glory, it'll be no more. No more tears. No more sorrow. I'm going to, in closing, I'm going to read over in the book of Revelations. I believe it's chapter 7, verse 9. We ought to all be thinking about this time here when we all get to heaven. He says, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindred and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palms in their hands. And they cried aloud, they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and to the Lamb, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and about the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God. You see, there's no other worship. You won't have no other gods to worship like you do here on earth. God, He is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, and we'll be worshiping Him, and there'll be none other. None other to worship. Saying, amen, and blessed, and glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might be unto our God forever and ever. Forever and ever. You know, I can kindly sometimes visualize what it's going to be like. I don't think anybody knows what it's really going to be like. But I'll guarantee you one thing. You're going to be a whole lot better off and a whole lot happier there than you are here. That's what God says. That's what the Word of God says. That we'll be worshiping Him. There won't be no head turning to... We'll just be in a heavenly state. I'll put it that way. What a great day that will be. And one of the elders answered and said unto me, what or who are these are arrayed in white robes, and whence they come they? And I said to him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulations. Out of great tribulations. I believe he's talking about us, because we have great tribulations, you know, but by the grace of God, we get through them here. But we have great tribulations here on this earth. We're going through great tribulations of seeing what's going on here on this earth. And have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Praise God. I can go to these scriptures and read them. And you talk about comfort. I don't think there's any, I know it's not, not any other book that will comfort you like the Word of God. If you've been born of the Spirit of God, He says He is our comforter. He is our comforter. But this is God's Word, and we believe it, and we rest upon our Lord and God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We rest upon God's Word, because this is the Word of God. And we trust with all of our hearts in the Lord Jesus Christ. May God richly bless and keep you, is my prayer. Someone have a song. Number 157. Let us stand and sing number 157.